Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson, out with the wild things. When exotic species are introduced into new habitats, it's often impossible to predict what they will do. Some don't survive. Others become invasive, succeeding beyond our wildest imagination and taking over habitats occupied by native species. When humans alter natural habitats, we sometimes inadvertently provide homes for exotics, species that are native somewhere else. Sometimes we also provide new homes for species that are native, allowing their populations to grow dramatically and sometimes out of control. Native species can also become invasive in habitats we have altered. Some native creatures have increased dramatically following human habitat alterations. Cattails are native plants that have become invasive in South Florida. They require more permanent water and can't survive the wet season, dry season cycle of South Florida. The natural landscape is flat and naturally would flood with a few inches of water for several weeks to a few months, then dry out during our dry season. Canals, golf course ponds, other ponds, and even ruts created by off-road vehicles provide the more permanent water cattails need. With the Wild Things is produced at the Whitaker Center and the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. For the Wild Things, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson. Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson, out with the wild things. Each winter, hundreds of black and turkey vultures find their way to downtown Miami, where they spend each night roosting on the Miami-Dade Courthouse. Jokes suggest their brethren inside attract them, or that they find the smell from the courthouse as attractive as ripe roadkill. The truth is that the courthouse offers them a safe roost that gives them an early start each day in their hunt for food. The courthouse is a tall building, not far from the beach. Each day as the sun comes up, the land warms up. It warms up much faster than the surface of the ocean, heating the air above it. This hot air rises, and the partial vacuum from the rising hot air pulls in cooler air from the ocean. Thus, we get sea breezes during the day. The Miami-Dade Courthouse is an obstruction in the path of these sea breezes. As they strike the tall courthouse, they are deflected upward. Such deflected upward flowing air is called an obstruction current. The obstruction currents at the courthouse are like an elevator for the vultures. They have only to open their wings to get an early lift upward and sail off in search of food. Vultures and other soaring birds often take advantage of obstruction currents in the mountains. The Dade County Courthouse is just another mountain. With the Wild Things is produced at the Whitaker Center and the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. For the Wild Things, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson. Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson, out with the Wild Things. Pigeons are associated with cities around the world. They're here in North America, as in most areas, because of us. People keep pigeons as pets, they keep them to race, and they keep them for food. Sooner or later, pigeons become established wherever they're taken. But where did they come from in the first place? And why are they prominent around cities? What most people call pigeons are birds now officially called rock pigeons. Like all pigeons and doves, the rock pigeon feeds mostly on seeds or small fruits. It builds a simple platform nest of twigs, usually lays two white eggs, and feeds its young on a secretion of the lining of its crop called pigeon milk. Both males and females produce pigeon milk, and the hormone that stimulates production of pigeon milk is the same one that stimulates the production of milk in mammals. Although rock pigeons are now found around the world, they are native to the coast of Europe, where they still nest today on ledges of those tall, rocky cliffs. Yes, rock pigeons were pre-adapted to live on the ledges of tall buildings. To them, they're just another cliff ledge. With the Wild Things is produced at the Whitaker Center and the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. For the Wild Things, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson. Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson, out with the Wild Things. Check under any concrete bridge in North Florida, and you're likely to find the mud tubes made by an insect called the pipe organ wasp. These wasps gather mud, construct a tube with the mud on some vertical surface, find a spider and sting it to paralyze it. Then they stuff the paralyzed spider into the tube, lay an egg on it, and seal the tube up. The still-living spider becomes a meal for the wasp's young, which, when grown, will chew its way out. The pipe organ wasp is native to the southern Great Plains, where it naturally made its tubes in sheltered areas, on the vertical faces of cliffs, and in the entrances of caves. It easily transferred its search image for appropriate nest sites to other structures where the tubes would be protected from rain, including boxcars of trains. Trains traveling across the Gulf Coast not only brought people and goods, they brought along, and still bring along, pipe organ wasps. Tubes provisioned with spiders and eggs in Texas are often carried on the rails to Florida before the young wasps mature and emerge. Human buildings, bridges, and concrete culverts are perfect artificial cliffs and caves for the wasps to nest in. And now they're quite at home here. With the Wild Things is produced at the Whitaker Center and the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. For the Wild Things, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson. Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson, out with the Wild Things. Cattle egrets are those small white egrets seen along the road or in pastures with livestock. They have a yellow bill, short legs, and in spring, a flush of rust color on the back. Cattle egrets seem out of place for an egret because they don't usually feed in the water. They're a bird of grasslands. The cattle egret is an exotic that got to Florida on its own sometime in the 1940s. These birds travel in flocks, and a flock may have made its way from its native South Africa to northern South America on the winds of a tropical storm. Once in South America, cattle egrets were able to expand their range both north and south. They are now found throughout the temperate and tropical parts of America. Their success here was unlikely. In South Africa, these egrets specialize in following herds of grazing animals to feed on grasshoppers and other insects that they stir up as they move. Each egret often defends a single animal as its foraging habitat. Prior to arrival of Europeans, there were no grazing animals in open areas in South America. Only after we introduced cattle and horses and cleared forests for pastures was the stage set for a successful cattle egret invasion. With the Wild Things is produced at the Whitaker Center and the College of Arts and Sciences at Florida Gulf Coast University. For the Wild Things, I'm Dr. Jerry Jackson.